This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Morena, and welcome back to Conversations with the Mayor on Access Radio Taranaki. Today we are with the lovely Phil Nixon, the newly re-elected Mayor of the South Taranaki District Council. Morena, Phil, how are you?
Kia ora. Very good, thanks, Taran. It's great to be back. Great to be back in the role and great to be back on air with you.
Oh, it's lovely to have you here. And we're very glad that you were re-elected. It's been a bit of a campaign for everyone this time around, wasn't it?
It has been, and it's one of those things you never know until the numbers are counted what the result's going to be. So, no, I was very happy with the result in the end to be able to get back to the good work that I enjoy doing for our wonderful district.
Yes, and you're very good at it too. And you've got some new councillors around the table this time as well, don't you?
Yes, so we ended up with 5 new councillors around the table, with the 13 councillors and the mayor, so the 14 elected members. We've ended up with a 50-50 gender split, so we have 7 female, 7 male.
Wow.
So we've done very well, although we didn't organise it.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't think there'd be many councils around Aotearoa who had that.
No, so we've done well.
Yeah, you have indeed. Right, today, the first episode, this is season 3 of Conversations with the Mayor, and today in our first episode of talking to each of our newly elected or re-elected members, we're doing a bit of a get to know you. So I've got some questions to you that you might not be used to answering in media interviews.
Well, I hope I know the answers to them, Tara.
So, Phil, let's kick off with a question I like to ask everyone who's a leader. What's your favourite lolly?
Oh, I'm a bit partial to licorice all sorts.
Oh, good choice. Very good choice. I must admit, I had licorice all sorts last night for dinner.
Well, there you go. You've got good taste as well.
Yeah, love a licorice all sort. And what about, when's your birthday or your star sign, Phil?
So I'm around this time of year. I'm a Sagittarian, Tara.
Are you? So you're the same as Neil Voltsky.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, must be a leadership thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Sagittarians are supposed to get on or not, but Neil and I work very well together when we need to. We don't always agree with each other, but we do have a good working relationship.
Yeah, I like Sagittarians, grounded, like learning and doing things for the community. Good star sign. And what about your favourite music or your favourite band?
Yeah, I'm probably a bit of all music. I mean, I enjoy some of the older music.
Yes.
But yeah, just pretty much anything that's older. I mean, a bit of country I'm happy with, a bit of rock and roll, bit of all sorts. I'm not so much into a lot of the modern music, you know, rap and that sort of thing. But I mean, I'll just, you know, what's on the radio, I'll listen to.
Yeah. And if there was one artist who you could see live, one band, who would it be?
I probably, well, these days, I mean, it would be hard for me to say. Actually, who would be now? Not so much an artist, but I'd just love to go and see the Pogues. I think that would be fantastic.
Oh, my gosh, wouldn't that be good? And the Pogues are coming back. They are coming to Aotearoa for the first time in a long time. So I'm thinking of... Might have to get myself some tickets.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, so that's good to know. I might have to do the same myself.
Put it on your Christmas list.
Yep.
The band that I would almost sell my left arm to see live, if they ever fully reunited, would be Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Seen Roger Waters from Pink Floyd live twice, but to see actual full Pink Floyd together, not that Richard Wright's here anymore, but yeah. That would be my utopia. So I know the answer to this, but people out there might not. What did you do prior to local government politics?
Well, I've had a bit of a mix. My main occupation the last few years has been a dairy farmer, But I'm also an electrician by trade, and I've done a lot of electrical work over the years as well. So I've been able to combine them both.
That's so interesting. That's the same as David McLeod.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we crossed paths quite a bit when we were both electricians around Harborough.
Wow, look at that. Must have been something in the water or the current.
Must have been. And I just, like a lot of us say, as we get older, you don't know where the years go. But this time, 50 years ago, I was an apprentice electrician.
Were you really?
Yes.
Wow. And did you enjoy being an electrician?
Loved it. Right from primary school, I wanted to be an electrician. And my dream came true. And two of our four boys have followed in my footsteps.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. That's what my nephew was about to start his apprenticeship to be an electrician. Good trade.
A very good trade. Yeah. And like any trade, got a trade, got it made.
Yep, that's
he
exactly right.
He will do well
right.
if he's got a trade.
Yep, that's exactly right. So what made you want to get into local government politics?
Ross Dunlop.
Oh, true.
Well, I rang him one day. There was something going on around town I wasn't happy with, and he suggested I be round the table helping make decisions. I said, nah, I haven't got the skills or ability to do that, and he kept at me, and well, the rest's history. It was never on the bucket list or anything I imagined I could do.
Wow, that's lovely. You know, Andrew Judd's got a similar story about how he got into to local body politics. It was Peter Tennant. He came to see him at the shop and told him that, oh, you know, you should get into it. And that's how it started for him too.
Yep. Interesting. It's amazing sometimes hearing those pathways from different people, how they've, you know, ended up in positions they're in life. And it can be very interesting.
Yeah, it definitely can be. Find it fascinating. So what do you do outside of your farm and outside of politics? What are your hobbies?
My number one would be family.
Aww.
Which I love doing, and now after four sons, we've got five lovely granddaughters and no grandsons, so yeah.
Oh,
it's lovely.
Oh.
So these girl things are a bit different, but just love them all to bits, and yeah, it's a lot of fun having them. And our newest one we had in September, and that meant that we've now got one in Harborough.
Oh, congratulations. That is lovely.
Yeah, so I enjoy that. And I mean, other things I enjoy, you know, pottering around in the garden a bit, but I also enjoy working, making things with wood, bit of metal, but mainly wood. I enjoy crafting stuff with wood, so...
Nice.
Other than that, there's not much spare time to do anything.
Yeah, well, especially not with five granddaughters. You'll be kept on your toes there. Have they started making over granddad yet? Do you get your hair brushed and your nails done?
Oh, no, not quite. No,
not
sorry.
Quite.
Papa hasn't quite got into that yet.
Right, what's your favourite place in Taranaki, Phil?
Oh, well, obviously South Taranaki.
Yes,
is my favourite place, the centre of the universe, and it is a wonderful place. But I've also over the years, as a family, we spent many years holidaying at Uranui Beach, and there's nothing wrong with that either.
Oh, lovely. That's beautiful there.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. We're really lucky in Taranaki, actually. We've got some really nice spots for holidaying, especially in summer.
Yep, and it's interesting because a lot of Taranaki people seem to travel all over the country for neat places, and then you hear of, you know, people from other parts that come to Taranaki and stay. I remember my brother working in Palmerston North a few years ago, and over Smoko one morning they were talking about holiday spots and that, and this guy was talking to, I don't think he was aware of where Greg grew up or anything, and he said, oh, we've got a brilliant camping spot, we just park up there with the caravan, never have to lock the door, lovely beach. He said, you probably haven't heard of it. It's a little place called Ohaui.
Oh. Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah,
your brother would have been like, well, actually.
Yeah, well, actually, I grew up at the top of the hill just above that, Greg said.
Wow. So that's where you grew up.
Yep.
What a beautiful place to grow up.
Very close to it, yeah.
Lucky. So were you were your parents farmers?
Yes.
Yeah,
so mum and dad were dairy farmers. Mum was actually a dental nurse. That was her career. school dental nurse.
Wow.
And then, they went farming. And
it's nice growing up on a farm, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. And you know, it gives kids a lot of opportunity. And hopefully, as we were in the day, but it's a bit different now, but hopefully they're outside doing things, climbing trees and getting into mischief and not sitting inside on devices all the time, because, you know, you learn a lot doing that.
Yeah, you do. I remember yodeling in the hills. I thought I was a great yodeler at the time. Yodeling in the hills and down at the creek with the eels, and sitting on the back of the cows in the cow shed. There were two cows that would let me sit on their back in the cow shed. Yeah, it was lovely. Really nice.
I think that any kid that gets to grow up with animals and learn how to treat them and respect them is a very lucky kid.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we're very lucky that in Aotearoa, there's more opportunity for that to happen than in a lot of other places kids grow up.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So we're nearly at the end of 2025. We'll be heading into 2026 soon. What do you think 2026 is going to be like for South Taranaki and for your council?
Well, I would sum it up probably in one word, and that's busy, because we've still got a lot from coming at us from central government. And we were told by a member of parliament that spoke to us at a local government meeting in Wellington a couple of weeks ago that between now and Christmas, which is a very short period of time, we're going to have a tsunami of stuff coming from Wellington. We'll be running around with our pants on fire was two quotes that came from that person. So really interesting. So that's going to be the biggie. And I know you said for next year, but that's going to start what we're going to be into next year. So obviously our number one will be setting up our water services committee and getting that all underway for our local water done well. And that's going to be a big job. That's no simple job either. And so council staff will be very busy with that. We don't know what's coming entirely with RMA. So there's a lot of work going to be with that and changes. I mean, we're already had district plans put on hold, which is affecting us. Our plan change 4 that we were trying to do around our South Taranaki Business Park, that has put that on hold. We've asked for a dispensation on that one because of where we were at, but we're waiting to hear back. So there'll be a lot of work with that, hopefully, if we are granted that. And then, of course, whatever comes with rates capping, which way that goes, what the government's going to do. And whilst it sounds, you know, all good, we'll cap rates and you know, councils aren't charging a lot, but what people have got to realise is that that's not always the answer. And it certainly isn't a one-size-fits-all, because every council is different and the way it's structured. And people say, you know, well, rates shouldn't be going up any more than inflation. But what a lot don't realise is there's actually two forms of inflation. Mm. And one is our inflation every day from what we buy at the shop, what we pay for insurance, what we pay for rates and buy petrol and all those sorts of things. For us, under local government inflation, which is about roading, it's about, concrete, it's all those things, that is currently running at about 20%. And so that's very, very expensive for us doing things, and it's high. So we've got to be real with some of this stuff. And what really concerns me, if we do have some what I'll call maybe harsh caps put on rates, the first thing is going to be is levels of service. And I do not want to compromise our levels of service. I mean, that's one thing that our people and our customer satisfaction reports, they keep saying, we want the roads better, we want the toilets cleaner, we want this amenity and that amenity. Some of that's going to have to go if we do get some real heavy penalties put, rates cap put on us. And so it'll be interesting to see how that all goes. I mean, for us, we're an expensive district. We've got 7 rural pools, which are free. We've got 7 libraries because of our small towns. And down the line, I would hate to have to say, right, who's happy to have their pool closed? Who's happy to have their library closed? I would not want that at all, because for a lot of the young people through the summer and that, those pools are just a vital meeting place, a vital fun place, and a safe environment for them to be. So we need all these things. So it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of work ahead of us, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Like, speaking of the pools, I live in Waikato, so yesterday was our first swim of the season, and we went to the local pool and we spent the afternoon there, and half the community's there, you know, it's the hub of the of our little village in
the
summer.
Small communities, absolutely it is.
Well, I'm very interested to hear how rates capping comes out of the wash and how it will affect councils, because I do think it is going to be something that is astronomically difficult for many to navigate, and potentially something that'll be rolled back by later governments.
Yeah, well, it could be. And I mean, I don't like that either. This sort of flip-flop between governments, there's no surety of where we're going. It's certainly difficult with a lot of that, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing as well is the removal of the well-beings.
Yep. That's a hard one, because, you know, the well-being's very much a localism, and localism is what local government's about and what we do. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. And I mean, they've been in and out now for a few years. And so that does challenge us quite a bit, to be honest.
Yeah, it makes it interesting, because there's no surety in a lot of the things that councils have to navigate or that they are told they have to do by governments, which seems strange, because you're still a form of government, but you're bound to the whims of central government.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's hard. Well, I think you do a great job anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We do our best.
You do indeed. So let's talk a little bit about your committee structure for the term going forward. What committees have you got this time around?
So we really haven't changed a lot. We have done away with our two portfolio group meetings, and they really were just discussion type meetings. They didn't make decisions or even pass formal recommendations to council or anything. And so with the infrastructure one, we've lost half of that, or well over half of that, with local water done well, with the changes in that.
Oh, yes.
And so we've decided that what we'll do is we'll just bring some extra information to our policy and strategy meetings that we have every 6 weeks. And so that's what we're going to do. So that's our big change, if there is any, with committee structure this time around. So we've still got our iwi liaison, Tika Hui Mata Uraura, which meets every 6 weeks. We've still got our, obviously, our Environment and Hearings Committee. I mentioned Policy and Strategy. We will now be having our Water Services Committee as well. And so, yeah, there's I guess that is, I wasn't thinking of a change, but it definitely is, because that's a new one that we will have as well. And again, that reports back to council from that committee.
Yeah, lots of busy things.
It is. And then, of course, we do have our four community boards, which meet every 6 weeks. And so that's another report back that comes back to council, to ordinary council meeting as well. So,
very busy. The other thing I've seen that's happened recently for South Taranaki District Council is the green space sod turning and blessing in Opanaki for Tipuna Manawa Ora.
Yeah, and that's exciting. It's actually taken a while for us to get to that. And unfortunately, I was away at a local government meeting and wasn't able to attend that. So Councillor Langton did that for me. And that's great to see that started. It's taken us a while to get to this stage, because it's quite a process to stop a road, and because we had to shift a bus stop as well. And so that was working with Waka Kotahi, the New Zealand Transport Association, and they're often a bit slow getting things done and through. So it's been quite a process, but we're now really excited to be able to get underway with that project. So that's part of our town revitalisation that we're doing through Waverley, Partia, Eltham, Abenaki and Manaia.
Yes, and it's been going beautiful so far. You've already had some really good results coming out from that. Every time I see pictures or drive through, I'm like, man, South Taranaki District Council is onto it.
The other one we are doing at the moment, which is not part of that, but we are doing the CBD upgrade in Hawa as well. So bollards and seating, all our street furniture. The last ones to be done will be our lighting poles and that. So yeah, so just back to Abenaki, I'm really looking forward to seeing that green space develop over the next 12 months, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. It's not far from my neck of the woods, so no doubt I will visit it often.
Brilliant.
Now, you've got a cool event coming up for the community soon. You've got Arts in the Park on Saturday, December the 6th.
Yep, so that's always a biggie. We always have that the first Saturday in December, and in our wonderful five-star King Edward Park. And so looking forward to that. That's usually a really good day. Lots of stalls, lots of Christmas shopping's able to be done, food trucks and entertainment at that. So yeah, that's always a good day out. And so that is free for stall holders, but they do need to register. And there's actually not a lot of spaces left. So it's looking good. So those registrations are open now. Ready for that 6th of December event.
Excellent. Well, I'll make sure that I will come along to that and bring my little boy, because there's a beautiful playground at King Edward Park too, isn't there?
A wonderful playground, yep. And yep. Seeing there's a lot of people going to be there that day, there'll perhaps be quite a few questions asked around our lake in King Edward Park. So I might be able to answer that today in case people are wondering. It is empty. We've had quite a challenge with it because built many, many years ago, and the concrete around it has finally got rather tired and was having trouble holding water. But we've now been able to come up with a solution. So it will have a liner put in it, and it should be full and up and running again by Christmas. So,
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The ducks will be happy.
They will be happy. But it's taken a while to get them in a row to make it happen.
Oh, Phil, I love that. Now, just before we sign off for today, I wanted to talk to you about the stationary drive. Tell us about this wonderful initiative.
Oh, I think it's great what our staff have come up with, led by Cindy Cohen. So a lot of people will have exercise books at home that one or two pages were used in, and other than that, it's in good order. Heaps of pens and pencils and rubbers and sharpeners and things lying around. And so it would be really good if they'd like to repurpose those. And so they are able to drop them off at any of our Library Pluses throughout the district or at the administration office in Hawera. So we just look forward to people doing that and repurposing that, because the last thing we want is good stuff thrown into a landfill, because there's too much stuff goes in a landfill anyway, and it just avoids waste. So I think this is a wonderful idea. So just look forward to people emptying out a few drawers and off the top of our desk, and having people be able to reuse all that stationery.
Yes. And now, are you partnering with schools for the stationery, or where's it
going? Working through with schools, I think, and all stakeholders with it. So yeah,
wonderful.
It'll be interesting to see how it all goes and what the outcome is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, how exciting. I like this idea. Circular stationery, very good initiative.
Sure, whether you're aware of one other, either, Taryn, and that's our battery recycling that we're doing.
No.
So we have battery recycling at our administration building, and I'm not sure if it's all the libraries, but some of them. So you can take along your batteries and drop them into the thing, like double A's, triple A's, C's, the little sort of coin ones, the little ones. The 9-volt ones, and they can be dropped off to be disposed of in the correct way.
That's
a good initiative.
Yeah, that's a really good one, because I've got a drawer full of those.
Well, there you go. Have we got a deal for you?
I'll
just confirm that you can actually drop them off at the, as I said, Hawera Administration, Eltham, Abenaki, and Partia Library Pluses.
Wow, cool. That's a really good initiative. Really good initiative. That and the stationery and the town revitalizations, you guys are on fire.
We are. We are. It's all going South Taranaki.
It is indeed. And hopefully this summer the weather is kinder to you and you don't go into drought this summer, Tove.
Correct. We just love to have a nice balance that allows people to enjoy their time at the beach or park or wherever they want to be without a whole lot of rain, but just enough rain to keep everyone happy, keep the gardens and the farms going.
Yep, sounds like bliss. It's been lovely having you back with us today, Phil, and we're very happy that you were re-elected, and we look forward to the next 3 years of having a kōrero with you every month.
Thank you, Taryn, and I look forward to it as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.